on the occasion of installing deities here. Next weekend, this coming weekend, really soon, Balaram Jayanti, right? Saturday. So I'm going to be leaving here on Friday morning to go back to attend a Pran Pratishtha ceremony of Radha Krishna deities, marble Radha and Krishna deities from Jaipur, at our temple in central New Jersey. They're having their grand opening, and with it, 3-day ceremony for deity worship, culminating on Balaram Jayanti. So it's actually, I guess, starting tomorrow. And our, we have a deity worship minister for North America who teaches deity worship at the Mayapur Academy for 4 months each year. And if anyone really wants nice training in deity worship, oh no, the world's not over. Sounded like it was getting over. If anyone wants very thorough, comprehensive, first-class training in deity worship, and you have 4 months to spare, you can go and take part. And otherwise, the Jayananda is the deity worship minister for North America. He has plans to give some portion of that training in different areas of North America. It's largely our temple population is congregational, largely, and so it's very difficult to attend consecutive days if he came to a place for 10 days or 2 weeks or something. So he kind of threw his hands up in the air and said, okay, I'll come on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, train the pujaris, or spend time with the pujaris, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that, a little portion. And if you hear of that and you like deity worship and like to get training in deity worship, then by all means, sign up. Don't sit right there where people can't get through, though. You can just like slide over a little bit so that there's space. Thank you. Thank you. And so I was mentioning that the deity worship installation, formerly it's called Pran Pratishtha. However, there's elaborate and there's simple. Just like weddings. You're all familiar with weddings. Those of you from India are too much familiar with weddings. Sometimes can similarly last for 3 days. And by the end of that, you know, they're tuckered out. Anyway, or it can be very simple. So what we're doing this evening, this is installation. There's the ceremony part to it, but that the essential elements are those who are scholars in Narada Pancharatra, in the Archana Vidhi portion of our teachings, back there, Lal Gopal. The teachings of our deity worship literature, you know, from the Vedic texts, describe these essential elements are what we're doing. Abhishek and dressing the deity in new cloth and new ornaments, making a bhoga offering, and performance of aarti. And with that, the deities are installed. when Prabhupada, in the very early days, it's established even deities in temples, he didn't do the formal all day long so many mantras procedures, which can be done. Just like deity worship, there's deity worship that can take 20 minutes to a half an hour, or an hour, or 3 hours, or 5 hours, or, you know, take a long time, depending on, you know, the elaborate details that one undergoes. This is a formal deity installation. And from this day forward, those who have invited Krishna in his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, just as in our temple in St. Louis, there's Krishna Balaram, and by their side is Nittai Gaur Nataraj. So this is, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and himself appearing as the devotee of Krishna in that mood, and Lord Nityananda is Nityananda Ram, he's Balaram, assisting his brother in his pastimes in so many ways. The pastimes of distributing the holy name, and with the transcendental holy name, love of God for those who wish to come to that very elevated stage of devotion to Krishna. And this worship of the deity is an essential part when of that process of awakening love of God. When Prabhupada first came, consider, he didn't introduce deity worship right away. He had everyone chant and dance, hear some teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and prasadam. These four elements, very simple, universal, that they apply in the most elevated stages of Krishna consciousness also. But in due course of time, for the formal worship in the Mangal Arati and so forth, he had us establish pictures. He called it Guru Garanga altar. So the picture or photograph of our spirit founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And he had a group of devotees that he requested. Some of them had some art training, some of them didn't know anything about how to even hold a paintbrush. But he had them engaged in making paintings of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the Panchatattva. And that was the Gauranga part, and then Guru Gauranga altar. And that's what we did for a long time. Then where centers became more well established, after it was a few years, either Lord Jagannath or Gornatai deities were installed in temples. And those two, because the standards were simpler, and then in course of time, in some of the larger city temples, Radhakrishna deities were installed. And then, after some number of years, establishing Shalagram Shila worship along with Radhakrishna deity worship. Some of our larger centers still don't have Shalagram Shila worship, like in Chicago. There's, if you look closely on the altar in Chicago, in front of Lord Jagannath, there's something that looks like a Shila, but it's not, for your information. It's tadiya, it's paraphernalia from Lord Jagannath. And it's worshipped as one worships Lord Jagannath. So progressively, my point is, the progressive Prabhupada gave further and further higher standards and more elaborate systems of worship for temples that could manage that. But then, in course of time, the congregation dimension of ISKCON started to grow and grow and grow, and then in course of time, in addition to worship in the temple, as is happening here, and many of the members, some of the members have deities in their home. The importance of having deity in the home, I'm going to read just a little bit, but I'll say a little bit also. When you invite a guest in your home, it's a little different than inviting Krishna to your home. Because when you invite a guest to your home, of course, there's a certain etiquette and thing that you, socially should do. Provide a nice place to sit, some kind words, some water or refreshment of some kind. Just basic standards of social etiquette. But after some time and some conversation, your friend will go back to their home. But when you invite a deity to your home, he doesn't go home. This becomes his home. In fact, literally, the deity becomes the proprietor. He's no longer just a guest. This becomes his home. Just like Prabhupada would speak about a temple. What's the difference between a temple and the building next door to the temple? Well, Krishna resides, it's Krishna's home. Whereas before, some building, I remember Prabhupada was speaking like this in Detroit, they had purchased a building, a wood frame building. Eventually they moved from there, they got Fisher Mansion and so forth, but Prabhupada said this is in a residential neighborhood. It's the difference between this house and any other house, because here Krishna is being worshipped and the topics of Krishna are being discussed. And the kirtan, the chanting of Krishna's holy name, is being performed. That makes it Krishna's temple. So you invite Krishna to your home, invite a deity form to your home, and it does the same thing. It makes your home a temple, and then in the temple, there's a proprietor. And that's Krishna. There's a family that I knew in the course of early days of traveling as a sannyasi in North America, in Tennessee. There was a family, Dr. Rao and his two sons and his wife. And he very much appreciated Prabhupada. He wasn't so much of a sadhaka, but he was definitely a devotee of Krishna. And he had trained everybody in his home. I was very surprised when I first called Dr. Rao, and said, instead of saying Dr. Rao's residence, it's Krishna's home. Can I help you? So he answered the phone, but he had trained everyone in his family to answer the same way. Krishna's house, can I help you? So when you invite deity to your home, it's his home. And that means he presides and everything is centered around the deity, which is fantastic. If you want a Krishna conscious life, that's a great way to do it. Invite Krishna to your home. And then he, whatever it is that the family, this is a policy or a principle that should be followed. Many families already follow it. But when you have deities, then it's a must. That is, before the family members eat anything, it must be first offered to the deity. It's a must. It's like, there's maybe before and after the same. But if it's not, then after is always the same. And you have deity in your home because he's at the center. And the worship of a deity in one's home has many other spiritual benefits. One of them, a very practical one, is just regulation. Because our busy lives require us to do multiple things. But Krishna doesn't have to do all those multiple things. He's not engaged in fruitive activities. He's ready to accept our loving service. And we should be regulated in the offerings or the service that we offer to the deity. In the temple, it's very strict. It's supposed to be very strict to the minute. And in your home, Prabhupada said with deity worship, there are three most important things. Sometimes he would say two, sometimes he would say three. So cleanliness and punctuality were always there, and sincerity. So cleanliness, very, very clean. Very, very clean, super clean. And not just, you know, the altar, but the house, especially the temple room. But clean, very clean. Not fanatical clean, but not ordinary clean either. What people commonly think of clean is not what clean is. Clean, very clean. Here's Prabhupada speaking. I wish I could find this lecture. If any of you happen to run across this lecture, please let me know. Prabhupada was describing his life as a householder. And the role that deity worship played in his life as a householder, and it should be for everyone. Prahlad, if you sit right there, then people can't walk through. Come on, could just come up front. We're friendly. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada would say, when you wake up in the morning, first thing, pay obeisances to the spiritual master and call the name of your deity. First thing, Krishna and obeisances. Then make the body clean, put on clean cloth, apply tilak, then go to the place where the deity is, make some sound, ring a bell, knock, or like you're entering into somebody's room. Before you enter, you make some sound. They invite you in. Then you go before the deity, pay obeisances before the deity. First thing, make the altar clean. Although it may be already clean. You clean. And then you say some prayers, whichever are the standard prayers that you're accustomed to saying or have adopted. And some worship of the deity, depending upon what your home standard is. You chant your mantra, minimal, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Some offering is prepared and is offered to the deity. You take your morning meal and then off you go to perform your day's activity. So, of course, some hearing from the scripture. Then, in the course of the day, some shopping may be done and the purchasing that's done on behalf of the deity. You're not just buying for your tongue or the taste of your family. You're purchasing even more carefully because it's for your deity. So the results of your work, that's your earnings, is spent for Krishna. And then you bring the ingredients back and you prepare something in a very clean kitchen, because it's going to be offered to Krishna, like that. And then evening, the family comes together and again it attends some little worship in front of something before the deity. This is something the Prabhupada was saying is a standard. So it brings regulation. By the way, regulation in activity is a symptom of the mode of goodness. So bringing the deity into your home helps increase and keep fixed the quality of goodness. Cleanliness, regulation. Regulation means so at certain times of the day, at least morning and evening, depending upon the family requirements, some little service. And so whatever you do the day before, every morning at a certain time, at least within a range of time, there's some simple offering that you make to the deity, and again in the evening. It brings an element of regulation. And I want to read a little bit from Nectar Devotion, because there's a section of Nectar Devotion that describes there are 64 items of bhakti. They're recommended. They help elevate your consciousness to Krishna consciousness from the other kind. And amongst those 64 items, there's five that are most potent forms of practice of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami says that these five are so potent that if any one of them is performed without offense, there is potency to elevate one to the stage of bhava, ecstatic love for Krishna. Very, very powerful activities. And deity worship is one of them. So it's a nice section. I'll just mention what the theme is. The theme is deity worship helps one become relieved of involvement in worldly affairs. And there's all kinds of worldly affairs. Attraction for finding friendship and relationships in this world. There's a very nice story in the life of Ramanujacharya. Lal Gopal will help me with the name. There was a ceremony, a festival in Sri Rangam, where the deity was taken in procession, and Ramanujacharya was observing the festival along with his associates. And there was practically across, because it was the path where the deity was coming, practically across there was a very powerful fellow who was a wrestler of the king, another nearby king, whose name was Dhanurdas. And Dhanurdas was completely ignoring the festival and the deity, but he was completely enthralled, staring with unblinking eyes at the beautiful woman in front of him. And, you know, the procession coming, and everyone, it was so noticeable, they were standing right in front, and the question was asked, who's that person? He's oblivious. He's totally oblivious. And someone went to find out, the details of this I can't remember exactly. But Ramanujacharya called for him to come. I want to speak with this man. So he asked, what is it that you're doing? You're shameless. You're staring at this woman. What is it? He said, well, her eyes are so beautiful. You know, poetically was, I've never seen something so beautiful as this woman's eyes, and I can't take my eyes off her eyes. And so Ramanujacharya said, if I could show you eyes that are more beautiful, would you accept? The man said, sure. So he brought him before Ranganath, and he saw the eyes of Ranganath, and the eyes were transcendentally beautiful, and he accepted. He became a great devotee of Ramanujacharya and Lord Ranganath, the Lord of beautiful eyes. Then the woman, she also became a devotee. He became a great devotee, very great, very great devotee. So when one becomes captivated by not just the beauty of the deity, but in rendering service, you become attached to the person who you're rendering service to, and that attachment of transcendental devotional love takes away or it eclipses the fascination for mundane relationships. So here's how the nectar devotion begins. This is Rupa Goswami speaking with reverse logic. So it begins, "My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then do not look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshigat. He's known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there's a peacock feather, and his whole body is illumined by the moonlight in the sky. So my dear friend, if you want to continue in your happiness with material life, don't go there." And Prabhupada is explaining in his commentary, Rupa Goswami is using metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn materialistic society, etc. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements for and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. But to see the Sri Murti of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising material association of friendship and love, and was condemning the audience of Sri Murti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of materialistic society. So deity worship goes well with chanting. Chanting comes first, and it goes well with chanting. Deity worship goes well with chanting. One is called Bhagavat Vidhi, and the other is Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi means the vidhis, or the rules and regulations in relation to deity worship. And the effectiveness of that depends upon the deity worship. It helps to bring one's heart to the position of being cleansed, but the primary means of making the heart cleansed is the hearing and chanting. And then applying that cleansed consciousness to the worship of the deity. That's why Prabhupada didn't introduce deity worship immediately, or in homes, it's not something that one should do immediately. The strong hearing and chanting program comes first. And then the fruit of that hearing and chanting is wishing to intimately serve the deity form of the Lord. I was discussing with some devotees today, I won't mention names, how fortunate they feel to have the opportunity to worship the deity form of the Lord. The way that they were saying it was, supposing that fortunate day comes that I can go back to Godhead, I don't think I'll have such intimate service like this, of standing before Krishna, dressing Krishna, decorating Krishna, placing various ornaments on his wrists and his ankles. I don't know if I'll have that intimate opportunity. So deity worship is very, very fortunate. And the deity form of the Lord is the Lord. There are verses in the scripture that say, one who thinks of the deity as made of stone or wood and other things, the place of origin of the spiritual master, and so forth and so on, is possessed of hellish mentality. See, in terms of worldly distinction, that which isn't worldly. So deity worship it elevates consciousness, but it's meant for those who have a strong foundation in hearing and chanting, and then offenses are less likely. It's really easy. It's too easy to let your mind wander. Our mind wanders all the time. And when you're worshiping the deity, you can't be worshiping the deity and your mind is wandering. You have to be very, very focused. Very, very focused. It helps to discipline the mind and train the mind. In what way? In a mood of devotion. And then the other activities that one does in the course of the day, inspired by devotion, that comes from the deity worship, then the effectiveness of bhakti being carried over into all the other activities that one does is far more likely. Children are restless. I think we'll end. So, are we ready for Arti?
Another 5 minutes.
Okay. Any comments or questions? How many of you have deities in your home? If you don't have deities in your home, that's fine. That the approach should be that the making of offerings before pictures, maybe pictures of the deity at the temple or your favorite deity somewhere, and make offerings, perform some simple service. The children in the family can also easily be engaged in those activities if the parents are engaged in those activities. I was discussing this yesterday evening that when Prabhupada was very small, he saw his father worshipping deities of Radha Govinda. So seeing his father so devotedly engaged in that worship, he also wanted to worship. So here, Sri Niti's not a little girl anymore. But developing some affection, because the reposing of affection is what naturally comes when you worship. Anyone that's worshipped deities knows this. You become attached. You feel that you have some relationship with your deity, and you pray to your deity, and you see things happening in terms of your deity. It's just, it's a relationship, a personal relationship that develops. And when that's there, at a core place in one's life, it's very elevating, it's very beneficial. Okay, let's make our way over that way. We'll have some kirtan as we're waiting for the RT. And then we'll have RT. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.